Welcome to LeagueCast.
Hello and welcome to episode 634 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick. Joining me is Aiden.
Hey.
And Colton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. We've got our new patrons this week, this month, that we'll be doing at the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. A little bit of LeagueCast news, a new patch. We'll talk about bi-weekly. I think we'll have a discussion in there. Competitive League section, LCS Finals, etc. And Roundtable and Mail Fight. Aiden, how was your week?
Mike was good. I got my level 30, well, my level, not level 30 count to level 30.
Whoa.
Which is Pog. That process wasn't too bad if you just do for like first one of the day. So
yeah.
Pog. Outside of that, just been playing normals with friends. Nothing too crazy otherwise. I had a bit of an itch this week to play ranked, but I held back, which I'm happy about. I think I'm still want to wait for Duo Q to come back, which might come back, but we also don't know because a rioter said that they're working on it, but that was removed, and now I don't know if it's real or not. But so
yeah, I really hope it is, but we'll see.
Yeah. And that's kind of it for League. Other than that, I finished Final Fantasy VII Part 2. I finished that last night. It was very good. And I'm very excited for the next one. Hopefully it doesn't take as long to come out because I'm very excited and I want to play it.
Hell
now.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm going to probably start playing Song of Nunu this week. I'm considering playing Sifu first, but I might do that after. I'll probably just do Song of Nunu. I feel like Song of Nunu is not that long, so.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that long for sure.
Cool. That's my week. What about you, Colton?
Yeah, so obviously we played some normals and some ARAMs together. Ranked has not been going well for me. I am 2 wins in my last 20 games. You know, it's been rough. I obviously like am a big factor in that, but I feel like it, like, from my perspective, be like, I mean, I feel like I'm playing pretty okay and just getting like unmanageable teammates. So if I really wanted to probably turn it around, I should probably like VOD review those games and see what I'm fucking up.
Yeah.
But you know, we're gonna keep playing. Hopefully things turn around. Try to take like a little bit of a break instead of just like queuing up and losing 10 more.
That's not the Colton way.
Yeah,
that's not the Colton I know.
Yeah, it was funny. Quinn messaged me today. He's like, I made it to D1 and was like, dude, I'll see you there soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see if I can start winning games again or if it's just going to keep being a bunch of losses. I don't know. I need to figure out what I'm doing wrong because obviously there's something, but outside of that, been playing some of the new TFT set. I've been playing both regular and double up. The other day in it was a ranked game, I hit Fortune 9, which like is a hidden trait because Fortune 7 is already like obscenely difficult. You need to find like 2 icons for it and you can't build those ones. And then I eventually got to 9 and it's like obscenely broken. Like it 7 was already pretty fucked where it's like you 99% just win the game if you hit that. And then like if you somehow manage to get Fortune 9, it's like the only way you possibly lose is if somebody else hit that.
That's cool. Yeah.
I saw like a dev post about how like they made it so it's easier to get to like full board, like level 9, like than it was in previous seasons. And the immediate like feedback was at high levels of play, it's way worse for the game. And at low levels of play, it's way better for the game. Because like low level players, like even before the changes, it was like way lower percentage of players would get to level 9. Whereas like before, for like high level players, they would get to the end game not as much as they wanted, but like it was still a lot more than low elo players, and now it's like every single game you can like kind of, or I'm not sure if they've changed it or hot fixed it since, but like it was like most like 5 or 6 players in the game can get to 9. Like, so
wow,
it's just interesting how like yeah. even a game like that can be so different based on elos.
Uh-huh. And that's something that I think has always been like a thing with TFT, and I think particularly like when watching streams of like good players who are like challenger in TFT, I feel like you see, like you're saying, like them going later and like hitting 9 or 10 or like 9 and having enough gold to like roll for a decent board way more often. And it's like a weird thing because like the easy answer to that, right, is just like, oh, they actually like manage their econ better and have more gold. But I think the bigger contributing factor to it is that like they're better at constructing good boards with like less overlap, or like building a strong board out of a bunch of junk rather than like a lower elo player probably just like follows exactly what guide they have. Mm-hmm. Right, so it's like if I have a 2-star in my shop, I'm not going to buy it because that's not a unit I play, versus like a higher elo player might play that for like 10 rounds just because it makes their board strong enough, and then like all the combats are a lot closer, and then everybody has more health, and then the game goes more rounds and people become higher level. Plus you also have like less instances of one person just like going crazy, rolling super early, and like sometimes getting insanely lucky, and then that person just like screws up the pace for everyone else.
Yeah, I'm always so surprised at how much of a skill-based game it surprisingly is, right? Like, I think the general consensus, even more than like League of Legends, is like, fuck, this is a RNG game. And a lot of people don't know that, like, the guy who fucking won like TFT Worlds last year or whatever, like, you have to get a certain number of points from like placements, right? So like one gives you like, getting first gives you like 8 points or whatever, right? And then as soon as you get past that point threshold, you have to win a game. Is like the way they do it, which is pretty cool. I think that's really cool.
You have to get first in a game, right?
Yeah, you have to get first, right? You can't just get like second. You have to actually get first. But the guy who won last year just won like 5 games in a row. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, just like
he's just smoking
everyone.
There's
actually just skills in the game. Like,
there are, and I think that that's like, it's weird because like you do need to have a lot of knowledge about it to like see where that is. And like by no means am I that caliber of player, but it is wild to see sometimes other people playing the game and being like, how is that the decision you make, or like, why are you doing this? And it's the same thing in regular league. It's like a lot of people autopilot decisions, make a bad decision, and it's like, why is this happening? It's like, well, you rolled like 20 gold and you weren't looking for anything, like you were just rolling, right? Or like, you know, I think a lot of people are you know, bad about like, I'm rolling for a unit, but it's not going to make my board any stronger. Or it's like, I can roll 30 gold and I can get another 2-star on my bench. And it's like, great, it's on your bench. Like, the 2-star you're playing is the one that matters. Cool. But, you know, it's been fun. I also had some, like, I think I was in silver or bronze at this point. And there was a game where, like, two people flamed me. So I, like, I looked them both up in the game. And like both of them had never gotten higher, I think, than like gold or like plat 4. And it was just so funny because one of their comments was like, you'll never climb playing X. And it's like, that's literally like one of the top 4 comps that challenger players are playing every game. They're like, you'll never climb playing reroll comps. And it's like, what are you talking about? Like, you've never gotten higher than plat. And like, you obviously, and you like, you just lucked into a 3-star 4-cost this game. Dude, like, holy shit.
That's funny.
And also, like, getting second place every game, you'd climb so fast and would be, like, rank 1 challenger very quickly if you could get second place every game rather than, like,
50, isn't 15. That, like, a huge win?
Yeah, no, it is a huge win, and I think a lot of people play for first. Yeah. And again, like, that's not necessarily always the right thing to do, especially if you get, like, bad RNG. It's like, okay, cool. Like, I'm never going to hit my capped 9 really good board. Let me try and stabilize as best I can to take a 4th or a 5th and not lose a bunch of points this game. Which is a fun loss mitigation kind of thing that you don't get in regular league.
Yeah.
Right, we're like, in regular league, you can't decide halfway through. It's like, fuck, I'm just playing to only get minus 7 LP from this loss.
That's okay. My teams usually play to make sure we get second.
True. Now that I've talked about TFT for like 6 minutes, I'll hand it over to Nick. What you been up to?
Hey, I've been playing Path of Exile, and I think that's mostly it. Oh, we played a bunch of normals, and we played One For All Nika, which was fun at the beginning, but then we played against Aatrox, and that was not very fun. So, I think that's about it. So we'll just get on with the show. Aiden, do we have any LeagueCast news?
Just the same old from last week. Re-listen to the thing last week, and then you'll know all the news.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Let's do patch notes then.
Cool.
Patch 14.7. It's kind of boring.
Fucking snoozer. Let's just burn through this shit.
Except, hang on. The Skarner rework. This patch. Poggers. It's going to go crazy.
Huge.
Have you seen the teaser video for him? They leaked the Malphite. Malphite's getting a visual update.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Kind of cool.
You know what else is cool? Depreciating shop.riotgames.com. Which apparently you could use to buy skins and stuff from the in-game shop.
Yeah, they implemented it like 4 years or 3 years ago, and it was originally implemented as a test run to give content creators like a Fortnite skin code type thing. So like if someone purchased something, this is the only place you could do it through was through the store, right? So like you'd put in Lol Dobby or whatever, and he'd get like 5% of the skin sale or whatever.
Okay.
But then they don't have any partners because that program hasn't been active in 8 years.
Yeah. True. Not only did the skin things, like, they were, like, for, like, a short period of time, and then, like, this was super underused, them getting rid of it pretty well means that they're definitely not going to do that.
Cool.
Interesting.
Poggers. Also being depreciated, DX9. Woo. Cool. Thank you for your service. Camille, Q bonus, move speed increase, cooldown decrease, W outer cone damage increased, E damage decrease. Stop playing her in support.
Yeah,
knock it off. Fiora, cool. Base attack damage decreased by 2. She's gutted, unplayable.
Bigly, Galio, passive damage increased, W damage reduction increased, E damage increased. These are just base damages, which I guess pushes him away from... No, one of them's an AP ratio. I don't know what the fuck they're trying to do. Whatever, who cares?
Yeah, I think they over-nerfed him.
Yeah,
that's fair. Patch. They did nerf him pretty hard last patch, yeah.
And so they're giving him a little bit of it back.
Karma, W root duration decreased at lower ranks. R shield, AoE shield increased. Poggers.
It says decreased, but the number is up.
Dude, fuck Riot, man.
Riot
so
Games,
gross,
every
man.
Time, man.
Oh.
Okay, quick math quiz for you, Nick. Which one's bigger, 1.4 or 1.6?
Well, is it a fraction or... It's got to be... They just flip the numbers around, right?
No, I think they just write stuff wrong, and I think they don't have anyone to double-check and edit, because we talk about this every single fucking week we do a patch.
It is funny that we have to decipher the code.
Oh,
I think
so
it's supposed
gross.
To be increased at lower ranks. I think you're right.
Yeah, and no, I don't know. Yeah, they just
cool.
Well, so yeah, like it.
I don't
man,
know.
Man, why can't they There's just have somebody proofread any of it? Kane,
50-50 chance.
Kane, Q damage. Wait, I'm not gonna read what they said. I'm gonna look at the numbers first. Increase the base value is the same, but the ratio went up.
Yeah, they made him, like, super clunky because they removed his Profane Hydra, like, interactions, like, so you can, like, combo, like, less well with Shadow Assassin, so they're giving him some compensation buffs, which is weird.
Yeah.
Lux, cool. Passive magic damage increased, Q magic damage increased, so this is just a ratio change to her passive and to her Q. Big ratios. This is going to kill Battle Mage Lux.
Kill?
Yeah, because you get it's just a buff, but like it's a bigger buff if you build full AP. I was just more
it
joking.
Is, yeah.
But
play Battle Mages. I was recommending it all week on OP.GG reviews. Just build grass on mages, and you get fucking 3,600 health late game. It's so gross.
And also do it on supports. I was thinking about playing Grasp Janna because I think it'll probably be. I think it's probably.
I think you should. I think you should play solo lane Grasp Victor.
Ooh. Okay.
I think Victor's probably the best user of it.
He has a fucking trading pattern with it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Cool. Nami, W magic damage decreased, the healing is increased, and the bounce fall off is reduced. E magic damage decreased. Okay.
Hmm. Okay, so more of an enchanter and less of a I'm going to buff my Lucian to 100-0 you at level 2.
Hell yeah.
That's good. Nasus, yeah. Passive lifesteal increased. Q bonus physical damage increased.
Woo. Broken.
You use 2070. Nasus now has 84% lifesteal.
It's crazy because like, it's so bad, but it's also so good. Like I feel like I still haven't seen it much, but I encountered it a couple times during like our mid challenge, what, like a year and a half ago, where I would play into Nasus mid who just went like grasp, second wind, revitalize, and a Doran shield, and like you just can't push him out of lane depending on your character. Like you're gonna run out of mana way sooner, or like in the case of one game I played against it as Vladimir, it's just like if I'm queuing him on cooldown and getting a couple auto attacks in, like that's just not outpacing his healing.
That's not enough. Yeah,
it was so frustrating to play against.
Hell yeah.
Also, I think you should Emax if you play Nasus.
Just don't play him.
Yeah,
next
don't play
is,
him.
Olaf. This is the new character who's now a jungler, which Olaf was, for those who don't know, because I feel like Olaf hasn't been a jungler for a while. Olaf has always been a jungler, like from like season 1 through 7 or something.
He's historically had the fastest clear in the game.
Yeah, he had an optimal clear like years ago before he got the mini rework, where you take 2 tower shots before you start your clear. So you can get the extra attacks.
Yeah.
But yeah, his Q bonus monster damage has been added. W bonus attack speed duration increased and mana cost increased. E cooldown refund increased when hitting monsters. So he just like clears jungle faster, which is good. I feel like he's pretty toxic for the game as a top laner. I did this thing when they released quick play where I would just queue Olaf in quick play because then you couldn't get counterpicked. and I would just like 20 every
rude.
Lane I play against, unless they happen to pick a character that's good in Olaf. Like
that's so funny,
dude. It's so good, man. He in lanes that he just wins. It's like actually, it's. I mean, he obviously gets on you. He has lifesteal. He has a shield. He has a unbreakable. He can't be CC'd thing because now that fucking whenever he's hitting you, it refreshes, which gives zero counterplay. The counterplay is play a character that can get away from him for 3 seconds.
Yeah,
you can get away from him while he's got like crazy amped movement speed from Ghost and his R, and you're probably slowed from the Q. Like,
yeah,
it's not a difficult skill shot to land. Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of how that works right now, but I think he's a way healthier character as a jungler. Way worse. I don't think he's a good jungler. Like. Just how his kit works and stuff, but this might be good. I think this will be good for the game.
Yeah, I hope so.
Cool.
Rek'Sai. Oh, this character. Passive fury gained from hitting minions, wards, and plants reduced, and healing reduced at lower levels.
Cool.
This character is very good in, or was very good in solo lanes.
It's just so gross, man.
Like, gross.
Like, it's just like, it's so boring to play too. Like, you're a loser if you play this shit.
Rel, base magic resist growth is increased, and all of her monster damages are removed, which I think that happened actually last patch, didn't it?
No, it's just like we were just
talking about it.
I thought it
we talked about it last week, but it hadn't happened
because I was when I was playing it, I feel like it had already been implemented.
With how you've been playing, it sure had been.
True. No, but like I remember like taking dragons and stuff and like queuing it for 40 damage, being like, man, this sucks now. But maybe I'm just remembering wrong. I'll take a look. But yeah, she can't jungle anymore. Hooray, she's a support. Thanks for the arbitrary
decision,
Riot
Games.
We've
already talked about that. We talked about that last week, but a very frustrating aspect, to be sure. Yep. Decision.
Senna, fewer souls are dropped.
Speaking of frustrating decisions.
From allied support items killing minions, more souls are dropped from Senna killing minions. So it had made an adjustment, and now they're making another adjustment to the soul drop rate.
It's actually so crazy.
Pull the lever, Kronk.
It's funny because Like they've copy and pasted soul drop change on minion kill and then just flipped the numbers from maybe even literally last week. I don't know.
This is a bug. They fixed the bug.
I personally like this, but I can understand why people get frustrated that like, oh, now Senna's an AD carry. Oh, just kidding. She's a support now.
Right. Fucking flip light switch, dude. So she's an AD carry.
I don't know. It's wild that like they one are constantly flipping the light switch. And also the fact that they don't just like standardize it. You want to make this way easier is just like if instead of actually dropping souls that you had the last hit, which like sure is, it's a fun mini game, but it's just like if six minions die near Senna that she didn't last hit, she gets one soul, right? Or like let's say three, and if she kills six minions, she gets one soul, right? Like they could just do that.
Yeah.
But hey, you have to have like an RNG drop rate that is then affected by if you have a support item or if your support has a support item or if there's a third person in the lane. And then also if you're near a jungle camp so that you can have bug fixes every 2 weeks and constantly have to adjust the character.
What's your degree in Senna Soulology?
Yeah, I'm going to get a PhD in Senna Souls.
That's funny.
Smolder, they're buffing him back. He's getting 2 armor and his Q bonus damage is is more based on crit chance. I mean the character's bad now. He's really bad now. So
other than Sona.
Good.
Yeah, I agree. Other than Aram. Passive staccato damage is increased, Q ally bonus magic damage is reduced, W heal increased, E ally movement speed increased. I feel like this is the wrong direction to move with this character. I don't think it's very good for her to just be someone who has good heals and move speed.
But it's so fun. You get to hit all your buttons and then win.
Yeah, I suppose so, huh?
Yeah.
What if she doesn't have cooldowns? Thoughts?
I like that.
Aiden, that you don't have to document. That's not a change.
True.
Volibear, ultimate cooldown increased by 20 seconds at rank 1 down to 10 seconds at max rank. And for his Q, crits can only increase Volibear's attack damage instead of the total ability damage. I guess there was an interaction with Sundered Sky that was unintended, making Q do more than it should.
Mm-hmm.
Can I... I'll send something to you. I accidentally deleted it off my phone, so it's going to take me a minute, but I do want... Actually, I still have it, because there's... Reddit was good this week. There's 2 posts that I think were great. One of them I'm going to read later, but one I would like you to read right now, Colton, and I want you to read it first take without, like... You don't need to, like, pre-read it. Here it is.
Okay. Where is this being sent to me?
Right here.
Okay, cool. From r/League of Legends, Odd Antelope 6129. About
Maybe don't read the dox him.
No, I want to dox him. He posted this on Reddit. He deserves to be known.
That's fair.
About Volibear nerfs, the buff he got at season 14 was Q speed and R cooldown and 1 second shaved off E in exchange for disabled turrets time reduction. Now his Q got nerfed to where it was before, and his R2 and his Q crit for AD instead of AP. How does that place him now? Because it just feels like he is worse than he was before. All the buffs he got were removed, and now he is the old Volibear, but even nerfed more, which feels so bad. Like if he was buffed just for the buffs to be taken and the nerfs to remain, all he got is losing R disabled turret time and losing his jump CC immunity. About Q now critting for AD and not AP, I don't know how that will react with his Sundered Sky, because that initial first attack crit is his bread and butter, and it just feels so bad, Volibear bros.
I agree. Dude, not a fucking single punctuation in there.
Dude, that's my favorite post of the week.
I had seen that, because I think you posted it in our Discord, in the LeagueCast Discord.
Yeah.
So I did my best to just push through it at breakneck speed, because it is just so much shit jammed together into a giant shit mountain that doesn't make sense.
Dude, it's funny.
Just crazy.
Use punctuation.
Please. It's so hard. Like, I couldn't read that. I just gave up.
Dude, trying to read it in your head is the craziest thing. Like, when like without, like, reading out loud, I can do. Like, it's actually something your body can physically, you can just make the words.
Oh, interesting,
but,
yeah.
Dude, in your head, it, like, actually hurts my brain.
Yeah.
You just have to keep, like, referencing back to be like, is this modifying the clause that was a line ahead, or is it talking about the one that's coming another line further? And, like, oh, it's just... Real bad.
Can I read my other post, my other favorite post? Once again, great week for posts. Other than the one where someone said, I think that someone telling you to kill yourself in the game should be a permanent ban. And then 85% of the comments are being like, no, it's a game. Just mute you. But no, anyways, this is my favorite post. It's called Aspiring Pro LOL Player. Hi, this might be a silly post and a silly question as well. I have a nephew who's in high school who loves playing League of Legends, so much that he wants to become a pro player one day. I don't know much about the professional scene for LOL, but realistically, for a high school kid to enter the pro scene, how realistic is it for a high school kid to enter the pro scene and make a living in life? And then there's an edit a couple hours later. Found out he's just low plat, so I will tell him to focus on studies.
I didn't see that. I was cracking up reading that. So good.
It's really funny.
So good.
Cool. Good week for Reddit posts. Anyways, continuing.
Back to the patch news. They were so long and interesting that we had to break away from them.
Cool. Next is Silas's Q monster damage is increased.
Whoa. Jungle Silas, I also feel like is a toxic playstyle for a character.
The most degenerate. He's also in the meta where like you just permagank bottom, so he would literally into bottom gank, which is fucking rough.
He has very good one-point abilities, too.
I feel like that is still very good, and the current meta is just like permanently sit bot. Yeah.
I do think people have gotten a little bit tankier, so I think it's harder to do that. Like there's just a lot of HP in the game now. But yeah. Cool. Support items are being nerfed. Look at those.
Fucking god, holy shit.
Also being nerfed, Imperial Mandate, Static Shiv, and the support item itself.
Yeah, good changes. I think they're all good.
Yeah. Balance updates, ARAM.
Smolder? No, Smolder change. Dude, why the fuck are we not nerfing Smolder on ARAM?
They don't play ARAM.
I feel like we saw these changes last week. Maybe it was just in like the pre-patch notes that I read about all those.
Yeah, you probably just saw like someone posted to our Discord. Yeah. It's very hard to like manage all that shit though.
Yeah, it is.
Because you're just like all of this final stuff with like the items and stuff. I'm like, this already happened.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. I've been here before.
Yeah.
Cool. Then some bug fixes, some skins. Oh, I'm the skin shell. It's the April Fool skins,
there you are.
Which are actually really good this week because there's Durian Defender Rammus, Choo Choo Orn, Toy Terror Cho'Gath, and then Cheddar Chief Twitch and Zesty Dip Zack. Like those are good fun skins. Like
Zesty Dip Zack is very funny.
I don't think we've had fun skins like this in like a long time. Like
it's been a bit.
No.
Toy Terror Cho'Gath, but he's a durian.
So good.
Yeah.
Now Cheddar Chief Twitch, would it be better if it was Chief Cheddar? Or do you
probably
think Cheddar Chief?
Chief Cheddar, yeah.
Chief Cheddar is very good.
I like how his eye is the fucking cheese hole.
Oh yeah, I like that too.
It's great. I love this skin. Oh, also, once again, I'm also the chroma show. Look at the chromas for Durian Rammus. They're actually just so nice. Every single one of them is nice. Oh,
honestly, the Durian Zack is good too. Or the Zesty Dip Zack is the chromas for that are good.
So I'm taking a look here. I was gonna see like how different are they gonna be? Like, are we gonna get actual like different kinds of dip? Yeah, we got one where it's like instead of chips, it's watermelons. We got some like
that's
like,
fun.
Like waffle
they're good.
Chips and like a chocolate sack. That's pretty sick.
I love fun skins, man. They just don't sell as well as like edgy skins, but like it's really nice that they like will still put the time into making stuff like this.
Shut up, dude. You jerk off skins so much when we all know Ivern would never play basketball.
That's one of the funniest things in the fucking game.
It's crazy you would even consider that.
Cool. Do we want to move on?
I want to stay in patch.
Let's go through them again. I think we can do it better.
Let's do bi-weekly.
I had two weekly things that are both related. So the first one is LP demotion changes, and then I want to tie this into ranked in general. Because they made a change last patch where they made it so that demoting from, say, gold 2 to gold 3, instead of losing the typical 25, so when you lose before at 0, you go straight down to 75, you now get set to 50. Which the point of this change is because they've seen the majority of players, if you play enough ranked games, you typically end up with negative gains because you weren't being reset enough when going down these tiers. This is led to probably the most Reddit posts about a topic in a while of it feels really bad or it's unfair that I get set to 50. The obvious example is that if you are at 0 points, let's just say you lose 25, like plus 25 minus 25 is the standard, right? You're at 0 points and you lose a game, you get down to 50. And then if you lose two more games, you're down to zero. And if you lose another, you're down another 50. You can, in the course of four games, you can lose 150 points, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a lot. That's obviously the extreme example. But I do understand that that could be very frustrating, especially for players who maybe don't play that much. That being said, just to get my quick thoughts out, something like this is needed unless Riot changes the system at a whole, right? Like, this will fix the other thing people were complaining about all last year, which was I get negative gains and it's impossible to climb, right? This mm-hmm. fixes that issue. It creates other issues, which I think leads into a discussion we've had for years of people complain about gains and stuff like that, but the reality is the only thing people care about is their visual rank.
Yes.
Because in theory, this change would be positive for every single player if they actually cared about MMR and the rank system at whole. It is a negative if you care about your visual rank, though.
I mean, yeah, like, I guess very short term, but I do think it's a net positive, kind of like you were saying, for the game, where sometimes, you know, you have to, I don't know, you got to take a little bit of, like, shitty medicine to get better, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to suck to lose that 50 LP, but you'd rather do that. You'd rather lose that 50 LP up front rather than suffer from, like, minus 30 plus 15, right? But something like that. Like,
I think the issue is people want both, right? They want their gains to feel good, and they also don't want to feel like they've just been fucked.
Yeah, and that's what
which
I was
is totally understandable.
Up, where mm-hmm. I think people care more about visible rank than their MMR, right? And like that's why they get like so mad when they lose 50 now. And I think more so, everyone's analysis is coming from the point of view of I want my rank to constantly go up and I don't want it to be particularly difficult to keep climbing. Like, that's where everyone's coming from. So, like, anything that's like, oh, this, I perceive this as making it harder for me to climb now, so it's a bad mm-hmm. thing. It's like, no, yeah. it really isn't, but, like, climbing is not meant to be super easy and you have to win more games than you lose, like, and people just want to win all the time, and like that's not the game you're playing.
And yeah. Honestly, like, it's a great way to put it, Colton. You have to win more than you lose. I think if anything, like, the main takeaway here should be that this change will help that be the case, right? That if you win more than you lose, you will climb,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
whereas
right.
before, someone has ran into situations where you had negative gains. So even if you did win more than you lose, I'm doing air quotes here, even though we're not on a fucking video. There were times that
I'm recording you.
You could be down LP, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, and I mean, like, I was experiencing that. I think it was 2 years ago. Where, like, in order to climb over the course of, like, I think I was doing, like, 100 games. In order to climb over 100 games, my minimum win rate had to be, like, 57%, mm-hmm. right? Like, if I had 55% win rate for 100 games, I would have lost, like, 60 LP.
Assuming nothing changes, yeah.
Yeah, assuming that the pluses and minuses didn't change, which, like, yeah, they did. But, like, that mm-hmm. is a really unfun situation to be in. And it's not as crazy as, like, plus 30 minus 15. It was, like, plus 22 minus 26. And rather than playing 25, or, like, rather than playing, like, 100 games where I go 50-50 and now I'm down, like, a bunch of points, you know, it could have just had me lose, like, 50 points out of demotion, and then I can be closer to, like, plus 25 minus 25. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what this is intending to do. There is always going to be issues when you have two different equations for matchmaking rating and visible rank. And, you know, the intent is for those numbers to be as close as possible and for those to get closer together with number of games. This is a change that they have made to improve that system so that they are closer together. And again, that parity is better with number of games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that the main issue is that visual rank is just such a big thing for a lot of players that,
yes,
like I think we might have mentioned it last
year. And it swings a lot faster. It moves so much faster.
Yeah, when people were getting like super negative gains, like say you were a plat 3 player or whatever, but your MMR is so bad that you're like getting minus 30 plus 20. Let's just say whatever. I just made up a number, right? If there was a button to say align my visual rank with my MMR, so you went from plat 3 to gold 1, I don't think many players would click that button.
No, not at all. And
even if it fixed their MMR to 25-25, right? Like,
I think a lot of people, like, I don't necessarily put that on players, you know, like I think everything in the game makes you care about your visual rank over your MMR, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you're getting, I don't know, plus 1 minus 29, as long as you're in the rank that you want to be at, right, and maintaining it. It's just kind of weird.
I do think the one change that I would like to see them make over this, over the minus 50, which I don't think they can make mid-season, but hopefully maybe in a future season they could do it, is do the TFT method of you can just like drop freely and promote freely through ranks, right? So yeah, rather than like you're at 5 LP and you lose a game, you go down to 0, you should just go to 85 points or whatever in the next tier. Like I think that does the same change of how, like, fixing the weird MMR skew from like loss prevented type things, but it does it in a much more reasonable way for a lot of players to digest.
And it's way more self-explanatory, which I think is the big thing, right? That people see that, and, you know, let's say I was at 22 LP, I normally am plus 25, minus 25. I lose a game, I'm at 0. I lose a game, I'm at 50. And they say, I just lost 72 LP in 2 games. That's ridiculous. I shouldn't lose 35 points per game.
A game, yeah.
And, like, it would be a lot easier if just that first game put them to, you know, 97 in the prior division, and then they lost one more, and they're, like, 72 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much easier and clearer to do it that way. And again, and that would be closer to just showing matchmaking rating and having that be consistent. But I think what would make people upset is that probably if we saw only matchmaking rating, when you win, it would be like plus 10, right? Because it's not going to move as quickly as a visible rank does, which is why if you win like 30 games in a row, your matchmaking rating is not going to be that close to your visible rank at that time.
Yeah, I also think it fixes some of the issues of like abusing systems. Like, we still do have the issues. It's less prevalent now of like, if you're at 6 LP, that means you can dodge, right? Because you're at 6 LP, but dodging puts you down to 5, which means you can still lose the 1 LP game, right? Like, there's lots of like issues with the current. You can gamify the system very, very hard right now. And I think having this just free flow system of like demoting, promoting, eliminates all those issues as well. So,
agreed. And also, for all the people who are complaining like last season and this season and before, you guys don't even know. You don't even know. Season 3 clamping, that's where it was obscene. You think plus 15, minus 30 is bad? You're only on a factor of 2 wins per loss. Go back to season 3 when I was getting plus 3, minus 15.
That was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that was the, at the time, until like this season, the highest rank I had ever been. And it was plus 3 for a win, minus 15 for a loss. I had to win 5 out of 6 games to climb.
For context, for people who aren't dinosaurs, that's the season they introduced Challenger, and there's only a certain number of Challengers lost. 50, I believe, I want to say. Maybe it was 100. So
I think 50 is right.
You had to out MMR the person who is in 50th Challenger to promote, right? And because obviously there's a lot of people who are like in Diamond 1 because there's no like top whatever in Diamond, you just have a shitload of people in Diamond 1 at like 80 plus points who, they can't promote to Challenger because they're not higher MMR than that player. So you get 1 point for like a win, like until you fucking out MMR that person, which is like, that's rough. That's not a good system.
Yeah, it's not.
It also, but like, you know, like even today, right, you have that problem. It's like, I played 10 games and like I accomplished nothing. Like going on a 5 win streak, playing one more, losing a game and having it be net 0 is so demoralizing. The fact, like, yeah, you went 5-1 and you didn't move up at all.
Yeah. I do want to transition this really quickly into just a ranked in general discussion.
Sure.
It is interesting because Nick and I haven't played ranked. So Colton, I would love your expertise.
Yeah, I've played two games, I think.
I've played one flex game.
Shut up.
But I think what kind of has spurred this is obviously we see the discourse in our community also online of like, ranked is bad, Emerald is unplayable, yada, yada, yada. But what really kind of created this discussion is we do OP.GG reviews for our Patreon. Mm-hmm. And so typically when ranked season was 1 year long, right, from January until November or whatever, we typically see people not play ranked for the first month, so January, and then not play ranked for the last month, so like yeah. November, right? And now they went to two splits and now three splits. And we didn't see people play ranked for the first month, so January, and we're already seeing people not playing ranked now, right? And there's like 1 month left of the split. And I'm wondering, are we going to see this three times a year? So fucking, we're going to see it six months of the year. Mm-hmm. Is people not going to play ranked because they don't play the first month, don't play last month? Or is this even a larger issue of, fuck, people are completely burnt out and they're just not going to play next split at all. Or they're not going to play for the first 3 months of next split because they're, what's the fucking point? It gets reset. I only want to play for my rank skin anyways. And I'm kind of curious, first of all, Colton, what your rank thoughts are in general, but then a discussion of like, fuck, I would love to hear from our community, like, because we obviously don't play in that gold elo. I think our goals with ranks when we do play are different, I would say. But I'd be curious what people have to say about, like, are they burnt out, are they, I don't know, it's so interesting to me.
I don't know, I feel like it's weird because like of the three of us, I'm the only one playing ranked, but also like I generally play the most and don't really burn out on League. I think part of that is just like, as a person, I'm different. And also like, I think I play, at least I know for Aiden, like he plays with a lot more intensity than I do. Right. Where like, I think when he is playing to win and playing to climb, like he's giving 100% and he plays like two or three, maybe four games, and is like tired from the experience, whereas I play like 1,000 games and hope that my like worst day is good enough. But yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, I feel like the season overall has been pretty good. Like the balance has been pretty fine. There are things I like, there are things I don't like, but that's every season.
Yeah.
You know, I am in the minority of players who's been like playing the game seriously for long enough to actually have some good perspective on that. And like I don't think it's like significantly different than any other season. I am looking forward to keeping like playing and to hopefully continue climbing. I haven't noticed a huge change. I mean, like, I think at the beginning of the split obviously there were a lot of people not playing, but I think probably when we go into split two, people are just going to kind of continue playing or start playing right away rather than like taking a break.
Yeah. I don't know. Are they doing like a small reset for,
it sounds like it's going to be smaller, but we also don't know. Right. Like,
yeah, it's hard to,
and just anecdotally, because this might be different for every server, definitely less people played ranked at the beginning of the split than other splits. Just like,
yeah, for
even
NA,
like looking at like definitely. You, Colton, like you fucking did your placements a week after the rank split, right? Like started, or like 5 days, yeah, or something like that. And you were like,
Race to Diamond is usually over by then.
I mean, you were like ranked, like you were like top like 300 or something being D1 after a week, right? And like previous years, like I would play day one and being top 300, like I would be top 300 at the same ELO that you were a week into the split, right? Like that's a crazy difference.
Yeah, it was wild. And also, I mean, like even on that note of the fact that like I hit master, I think within like a week of starting the season.
Mm-hmm.
And so like very much different than any other season in my ranked history is like, I have had to play, you know, to avoid decay. Now, I don't think probably in the 12 years I've been playing this game that I have ever averaged less than 14 games every 2 weeks. You know, I play a lot of League of Legends, but it's, you know, different that like there are days where I like don't really want to play, but I'm like, I'm either gonna have to play today or tomorrow, so I might as well get some games in.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's never been like real bad where I like don't want to play, but it's just like, I guess I'll play so I don't decay.
I don't know. I think for me, it just like, even if I end up playing the same amount, it just feels like it's more with being three splits, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it just being spread out over that many, even if I do end up playing like exactly the same as I would in a prior year. And I imagine a lot of people probably feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How do you feel, Aiden?
I mean, I also felt the same, Nick. I remember like talking about that as well on the show like earlier. I thought that it wouldn't be as bad as you were making out to seem, though, because you could just not play it for the first month of the split, yeah, or whatever, and then start. But it still is more games, man. Like, it definitely still is. And then if you actually are getting to our ranks, like, once again, Colton said decay is a weird thing, man.
It is. It's like, I feel like decay is only weird because we are, like, we get to elos that are not gated, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
Theoretically, every single player on the server could be master, could be grandmaster, versus, yeah, like, not everyone can be challenger.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of, like, people talking about, like, how challenger should be the only decay thing, because you don't want people to camp challenger, versus, like, camping master, grandmaster feels, like, less of a big deal. I don't know, it's interesting. Like, I mean, grandmaster is also a capped thing, so maybe it could even just be,
oh, you're right, I'm sorry, yeah,
challenger are like decayed, but I don't think it's the end of the world. I just think it's like one of those things where like, fuck, I felt like I played a lot, and then the other thing is like, I do take the game pretty seriously when I was playing ranked, and I also have the issue of like, even if I didn't have to play, like, I only had to play one game a day for decay, if I was only playing that little, my natural skill level at the game was not high enough to not only improve but maintain that level of ranked playing one game a day. I need to play three games,
yeah,
at like 400 LP master to be able to play. If I fucking only play the one game a day, I'm falling, I'm gonna go down, mm-hmm, elo.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I would love to hear from our community. Maybe next week I'll do it, yeah, as a roundtable question, because I already posted a fucking April Fool's one. Nice. But I would love to hear how people are feeling, because it seems like, just from our op.ggs at least, it feels like people are a little burnt. And if people are going to continue to be burnt out and Riot isn't going to change the system, we might have to pivot on some things, I think. So.
Yeah, I think so too. Awesome.
Cool. Let's jump into, yeah, competitive.
Competitive, yeah. Hey, LCS finals happened this weekend. What did you guys think?
It was great. I really, yeah, loved it. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I had a fun time watching the little bit that I did.
Yeah, I don't think LCS is good in the games for like high quality, but it's like, it's just been fun to watch this entire split. Just like everyone being like closer in parity. I think that just happens when you have like less people in a league, right? Because the talent consolidates, yeah, even more. I think it'll be even closer next split when even more like talent consolidates, because there's a couple of players who are probably good enough to be LCS that aren't in LCS because they got cut like at the last minute.
Yeah.
But it was great. It's really fun seeing Team Liquid won. I was saying like, oh shit, maybe I shouldn't say spoilers, but I'm already here.
Yeah, who cares?
But yeah, it's really cool. I think their players deserved it. Like, their coaching staff's obviously fucking crazy. Like, it's not a crazy thing to say that like Yawn and APA are not maybe the best players
yeah,
in the league. I'd say
no, you're not allowed to say that.
Before playoffs, I'd say most people would put APA bottom two in the league for mids, and most people put Yawn bottom three in the league for AD carry. I think both of them played way better, by the way. I think they both of them actually played well this split, or this
playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but also just everyone on the team played well. It's crazy that Impact performs every single playoffs on any single team in any single environment every single year. It's fucking wild.
Yeah, it is crazy how just absolutely reliable, regardless of team, meta, like anything. If it's like, if top side is strong, guess what? Impact's good. If top lane is weak, guess what? Impact is good.
Yeah. No, it's really, really cool. I'm really happy for the players. Like, even like APA, who like I think has gotten a lot of shit. Some of it for good reason. Like, I think it's fine to criticize a player if they're not actually like,
yeah,
good and stuff like that. A lot of it for bad reasons, I would say, though. Even he like played great. His Taliyah was fucking awesome. We call him a Ziggs Aurelion's old two trick, but I think his best games were on fucking Taliyah.
Yeah, I think Taliyah might be like the strongest mid laner in, like, at least for NA talent.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to think about.
the one thing that I think APA is better at than any fucking other player, which I think makes sense based on the fact that he plays Tilia, Aesol, Ziggs, is the way that he plays the entire map is crazy. Yeah. I don't know how the fuck he's in position to throw a good Ziggs ult every single time. There's never not a time where he's like in position to throw a Ziggs ult for like an assist team fight like thing that's going on. Like, it's crazy.
It is pretty insane.
Other than that, I definitely do think that FlyQuest also underperformed. I think that's also safe to say, not to take credit away from Team Liquid. FlyQuest is my team, but I think it's pretty safe to say that they played not well. I would say Bwipo played not great. Jensen played not great. Inspired still is the best player on that team by like a lot. And then their bot lane, who obviously has been struggling all split, played even worse than normal. I think that was the worst four games I've seen Busio play since he's been in LCS. Did you watch the Tahm Kench game?
I did not watch the Tahm Kench game, but I did watch his fucking Rumble game 4.
Yeah. So like once again, I think maybe his nerves is like another thing. We have another there's one more factor I'll talk about in a second, but just talking about Busio, like I am the Tahm Kench guy, so like I pay attention to Tahm Kench a lot. You'll notice that in like our live chat for LCS games, if I see a bad Tahm Kench play, I'll call it out, and I feel like most people don't notice shit like that. Like I'll be like, holy fuck, you just spat him into like a Rumble ult or something, right? But dude, it's a 34 minute game, and typically when you're playing Tahm Kench Senna, Busio's playing Tahm Kench, obviously you rush Sunfire as Tahm Kench, and then you build into items like Locket, Vow, Frozen Heart, etc.
Low econ tank items.
So he builds Bombies, Cinder, which is normal. And then at 19 minutes, he purchases Heartsteel. Which I have thoughts on Heartsteel, especially in pro play. I think it's probably one of the worst items in pro play. But I think it's also unplayable on support at high elo for Tahm Kench. Like, it kind of makes sense. Like, I think that it's better than it should be on top Tahm Kench in solo queue, because you just get to hit people for free. Yeah. And maybe that can also translate to support. I think it's less so on support. But at pro play, it makes no fucking sense in any role. Top, jungle, extra jungle, it's like kind of the best on. Mid, whatever, it's fucking terrible. He builds at 19 minutes on Tahm Kench, like Senna fasting combo it's TF top, Jax jungle, Aurelion Sol mid, Varus, and then Nautilus or something like that. So like the only person he can actually ever fucking proc it on first of all is Nautilus. So he built it at 19 minutes. How many procs does he get in the next 14 minutes of the game before the game's over?
So are we saying number of...
You can give me the number of that it procs.
Procs or the health.
You can do either. I have the number for both of those.
200 health.
It procced once for 27 HP.
Ooh, I was going to say 7, but damn, once.
Is that like,
dude, you would have been
like,
way closer than I was.
It's like that's bad in general, but like it's also just unplayably bad into their team comp.
Yeah.
Like, it's like honestly like he didn't know what to build, so he had to click something. Like I don't know how you come to that conclusion that's the item to build. Like even in solo queue and the environment is good, I think it's terrible. Like I don't know, man. Like stuff like that just like it blows my mind that pro players can do shit like that. But then just like the one thing I do want to bring up, not specifically because I don't think it's a good place to talk about it, but their strategic coach was put on suspension on Friday before the game because some stuff came up about his history from like years ago, which I think that makes a lot of sense in the fact that their drafts look like they didn't know what they were doing in game two. They missed a ban, like they just didn't ban a character. I think there's not to like John for them, right, or not to take anything away from people. Like, it does, I think that losing your strategic coach who preps all your drafts before
LCS
finals is not good. And I think there's some obvious signs that it looks like they were missing it. And only other thing I want to say about that, I don't want to get into like what he did or if it's actually true. FlyQuest made the right decision of like, they just put him on leave and they say, hey, we're going to investigate it ourselves. He's currently on leave, right? Which that's exactly how you're supposed to handle stuff like that as an org. What I do hate is this is something that happened 5 years ago before he was on FlyQuest. And it seems to be pretty public info based on, like, it sounds like people in the OCE scene knew about this. And it very much feels like an attack. And once again, if he did these things, he should not be in the scene, right? We don't want weird people in the scene. That being said, I fucking always hate when stuff like this is used as a, like, I'm gonna drop this info before your biggest game to fuck your career, right? Like, that's always done in such a shitty thing. Like, I hope if he did those things, he should not be in the scene. He should be removed. We don't want weirdos in the scene. But fuck, I hate when shit like that is, like, just held on to as, like, a, like, blackmailed time bomb of someone. Like, it's so gross to me.
It is. I also think there's something to be said about, like, and it makes sense that they probably don't have the coaching depth that, because this happened, like, they didn't have somebody step in and who could do that job particularly well, it doesn't seem like. And I think that, you know, in traditional sports, they probably do have that depth. It makes sense with, like, how funding and team structure has been changing that, you know, they probably don't have somebody with that exact skill set who can just step in and do it. You would hope that they would have somebody that could have done it better to at least, like, not miss a ban. To jump back and comment That's on one crazy. Thing that you had mentioned, like, a while ago in terms of, like, the Tom Kench build and that being bad, I think one thing that's a really, like, good part to point out about that is, like, for players who think the reason they are losing games is because they're not building the right items or they're not taking the right runes, right? Like, at the highest of the high of NA talent, at least, they are still making these bad decisions, buying these bad items. And, like, I don't recall which player it was you were talking about that did that, but it's like they are probably a consistently, like, top 10 challenger player.
Yeah.
It's not about the items. Like, sure, that helps, but, like, you have to play the game well and be in the right places and hit the skill shots, dodge the skill shots, like, play around vision. Like, all of that matters so much more.
I almost want to, like, take it a different route where I think it just goes to show how much champion mastery truly impacts your climb, right? Because the reality is like, okay, he probably knows how to play Tom Kench, but he probably hasn't played enough Tom Kench to realize that, like, oh, at this point in the game, I probably shouldn't, like, I won't find any value out of Heartsteel, right? Like, I would have more value purchasing a different item. And I think that is, like, I think one of the most frustrating things doing OPGG reviews is to see someone play like 40 games total, but you have 15 champs.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you just are not interacting with the game in, like, a high level. If half the time you're spending, like, oh, what do I, like, how do I use my abilities in this scenario? Right. Like, that's just taking up so much brain power that you could be using to, I don't know, pay attention to the map or analyze team fights or skirmishes or whatever.
People just autopilot. I think that's what it really comes down to. Like, we see fucking, like, the best LCK or LPL, like, AD carries, like, last season when you could build, before they stopped making it, like, build, like, the lifeline items. We'd see, like, AD carries build double lifeline together. Or you'd see 80 carries when Infinity Edge, you had to have 60% for it to work. People would build Infinity Edge at 40%. Dude, it's crazy how much players at the top level autopilot shit. Like,
yeah. And this is stuff that should be, like, relatively solved, I'll say.
Yeah. I think that if you ask them in a bubble, like, is it good to go Infinity Edge second, they would tell you no. But they're just not thinking about it in some of those games. And I also think in this particular example, like, there are some items where it's like you just finish them because you don't have another out. Right, like, if you bought Bammy Cinder, it's like you upgrade it to one of the two items. You don't, or you can, I guess, choose to sell it and lose gold. But, like, you don't have a lot of angles always. But, like, Heartsteel has the exact same components as Warmogs, right? Like, it's a crystalline bracer, it's a giant's belt, and then for Heartsteel, it's just a crystal. For Warmogs, it's the move speed one. But it's like at no point in your build of Heartsteel do you commit to it being a Heartsteel until you buy the item, right? Like, he could have at the very last second pivoted to Warmogs, and it's probably way better, right? It's more health. It's actually not more health, but it's a lot of health regen. It's movement speed, and you obviously get the out of combat passive.
So I have two questions for you guys. Well, I guess one question and a comment. I do think, to the credit of whoever was building fucking IE second or third.
Yeah.
I think in that scenario, it was that player's third item, but they didn't have, like, their second item was Wit's End or something like that, which, like, wasn't a crit item, but obviously, like, you're not,
But yeah,
like,
it was a lot. Like,
it happened a lot. It was like, oh, their third item, but not quite, you know, the correct one, whatever.
And just what fun to watch, though. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. No, it's okay. And very fun to point out, like, oh, you suck. What do you guys think of Warmogs right now? Because I think a lot of people sort of undervalue the out of combat power that it has.
It's only good on tank jungles, I think, is like
I'm not saying like I think you should build it, you know, on every character in the game. But I think on characters who, if you can go like, I don't know, Knight's Vow Warmogs, I feel like that's very powerful.
Like the one character that pretty classically builds it even in pro play is Sejuani. She's kind of like the character you see built it like all the time.
Yeah.
Go first set in Warmogs on Sej. And it's just because like she's a character that doesn't have many mana issues, can kind of stay on the map forever. Her health is her main resource, is like a tank. I think you have to
in
have
addition
those...
I think she already has those resistances built into her passive too.
Yeah, for sure. I think she's like one of the more commonly like more one of the characters who more commonly builds it, like because I'm thinking like I think Soraka builds it a lot, but I think it's pretty like gimmicky. And then like you see top lane tanks build it, which I think is bad in pro play or at like high levels of play. Like Mundo still build it a lot, but like, dude, is it really good on Mundo? Like, I don't think so.
No, I was thinking like I don't know, like a Maokai, Sejuani, Rel, maybe even like those low econ. But yeah.
You just have to have issues in other kit, right? Like, Maokai runs out of mana a lot for that, right?
That's
so you're
going
to be basing.
Yeah.
So that's, like, the other thing.
There's an overlap of, like, what you have in your kit. And there's also, I think, the overlap of, like, are there other items that are just better for you? And I think that's the one where a lot of characters have one or the other, right? Where they're going to have some issue if they go Warmogs because, like, they don't have resists in their kit. Or then they'll be constantly out of mana, or they're not getting the haste that they need, or they just have a way better option. You know, at least for support characters, typically that's they have a better option that is also cheaper, right? Whether
that's
it be
fair.
Like Knight's Vow, Locket, whatever it might be, or for top laners, a lot of times it could be, you know, the Sunfire, or if you're in an AP lane, like a magic resist item. I think. It is rare that Warmogs is like the best first item for people, and then, you know, its value has like a dip in the mid game where like a lot of times you're not really going to be able to utilize that regen where it's like you have a big team fight, you lose 2500 health, and then you dip for 20 seconds, get it all back, and fight again. I don't think that happens super often, at least like for top laners. Or if it happened, it was like you could have also just based. And
I am also recalling at this point that I believe the bonus health to trigger it went up from 1100 to 1300, which means I don't think you can get it second item. I think it has to be third, you're taking like scaling plus grasp or whatever.
You can absolutely get a second item.
It's with grasp though. Like, I mean, like you can't just build by itself. Just building the item doesn't get you there, right? Is what.
Well, you need another 500 health from somewhere.
Yeah, 500 health after.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, if you're taking like scaling health in your runes, even if you don't take grasp and overgrowth, you can hit it pretty comfortably with one item plus Doran's item.
Those are 160 each at 18, right? So they're 80 at. So you can get 160 at 9 from those. Like, you still need. It's a lot is what I'm trying to say. Like, I think grasp is like the main thing that like pushes you over in like those scenarios, or you have to like have 500 more gold to spend. Like,
but we're also talking about like, you know, tank junglers purchasing it who have
low
reduced
econ,
access to grasp procs.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
Cool. We could quickly talk about the Esports World Cup, dude. Esports World Cup.
Whoa, poggers, it's gonna happen.
It's been announced that League of Legends and Teamfight Tactics will join the Esports World Cup. For those who don't know, this is the 2 month long Esports World Cup that is taking place in Saudi Arabia in like July or some shit. There's 20 plus other games, and League of Legends and Teamfight Tactics are now a part of it. It's not an official LoL Esports event, so don't get too upset. But I am so certain that this will MSI or Worlds at some point will be hosted in Saudi Arabia eventually. And Riot, I mean, it's just money, and money fucking triumphs over everything. So
do
it's
you think
gross.
That Caitlyn, Vi, Leona, Rell, and Nika will all be banned for that tournament?
It's funny that you say Leona, but not Diana.
It's funny.
I was just like coming up as many as I could.
Yeah.
There's a tournament back in season one, that took place in Iran where all the women characters were banned, if you guys remember that.
I don't remember that. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it's very cool. So, so we're doing a tournament in a place where human rights are not treated the same.
A little diminished.
I would say it's also upsetting in the fact that it seems like Riot or people involved also had things to speak out about the NEOM deal a couple of years ago in LEC, and this is still going through, and it feels like money just like triumphs over everything.
Money talks.
Teams will be involved, Riot's being involved, because guess what, the fucking esports World Cup is gonna have $200 million worth of prizes. They're paying for all the event. It's a fucking huge event that will get tons of viewership that Riot doesn't have to put any money into, right? It's a win for Riot, it's a win for teams, it's a win for players, because you're gonna get a shitload of money. It's gross, it's sports washing. I think stuff like this shouldn't exist. I'm personally going to do my part and not watch, as much as I think it'd be great. I'm sure there'll be great teams there. The least I can do is just fucking not watch something like this, even though me watching won't change anything. It just, this whole thing seems super gross to me. I also just think the idea of like paying for teams to compete is gross. If you've noticed, all your favorite esports orgs that are dead have been picking up teams recently. TSM is a great example. They have 5 staff left at their organization, and they recently picked up a Apex team and an Overwatch team, if I'm correct. I could be wrong in those games. And what a surprise. The Esports World Cup has Apex and Overwatch in it. I wonder, because fucking not only are they a tournament funded by Saudi oil money, that it has $200 million worth of like prizes, and not only do they get to select who comes to it, but they're also paying people to make teams.
That's
so
crazy.
If you are a big org, like say they want G2, for example, they want G2 to compete because G2 is a huge org, right? Well, G2 doesn't have a Fortnite team. Well, they will pay G2 to pick up Fortnite players to play in their event, right? Like, I don't know. I hate everything about this. I think it's gross. I think it's fucking insane that like Riot's going this way. This is just the way it's going to go. Hopefully it doesn't get traction. It will, though, because the average player will watch this. I'm super disappointed in every single way about this. I think it's also insane that like we've seen no one come out against it, which I understand for their jobs that like they can't speak out against it. We will see who actually goes player wise, org wise, talent wise. The reality is players are going to go there because they get a huge fucking payout. The reality is orgs are going to go there because you get a fucked amount of money. The way they also do payouts, Nick, so it's a 20-plus game event or whatever. You get payout based on how your org does in all of the games, right? So it incentivizes,
so an overall...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it incentivizes... Like, the concept's great. Like, I'm sure it'd be very fun, but, like, once again, it's just fucking gross. So, like, you're just kind of, like, G2 competing in as many games as they can because they're going to get, like, a multi-million dollar, payout by participating, right?
Before they pull the rug and dissolve the org?
Yeah, it's just lame. I'm very disappointed that we've seen zero people speak out against it. I'm assuming it has something to do with, like, I'm hoping that the dream, we'll hear if there's any updates, is in the behind the scenes, there is discussions of, like, how people who are against this can speak out against it, right? And they're doing it in a civil, organized way rather than just tweeting, like, this is gross. I'm hoping that's the case. Clueless. I think in reality, it's probably they just said, hey, if you don't like this, don't talk about it. And in the worst case scenario is all your favorite casters are going to this fucking thing, which that will be very upsetting. Because, I mean, the reality is all your favorite co-streamers are going to co-stream this event. That's fucking lame. It's just like
it's just hard not to, right? I mean, I understand
the money thing, but like just.
Yeah.
Like, I think morals matter to some degree. Like, I think you should stand up for the things that you believe in, right? And maybe that's naive of me to say because I don't have a fucking huge check floating in front of my face, but like the only person I saw talk about it, and I they're one of my favorite like content creators, casters, is Froden, right? He used to be a Hearthstone caster, used to be a Hearthstone player. He was now a TFT caster slash analyst. he said, like, oh, this is kind of insane that they're doing this. I don't think it's great that they're doing this because of all these reasons. And then someone's like, hey, well, would you do it if they invited you? He's like, well, they haven't invited me. But the reality is if they did, then I'd probably have to speak with my family because it would probably be a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. But, like, fuck, man. It's just, I don't know. If you can't stand up for stuff like this, then, like, maybe you're in the wrong industry is kind of the way I've looked at it, right? Like, if you are in an industry where you have to take the deal because it's so much money, then, and it compromises your morals, then maybe you are in the wrong industry, I think.
Yeah, it's hard. And I'll toot our own horn a little bit. We've gotten a lot of interest crypto in the past
sponsors
from
gambling.
Yeah, crypto, gambling, like all stuff that inherently isn't evil by itself the way that this is, but we've all discussed and kind of agree is like kind of slimy considering, you know, we have some younger, more like impressionable people in our audience. And it would just be nice to have that from the game that we support, right? Like I'll hold out hope that, okay, Riot will use some of the money to donate to, I don't know, charities that do work that, you know, the people who don't necessarily, who hold certain viewpoints don't agree with, you know, but the reality is it's probably not going to happen. But the money's just too much. I don't know. It's a tough situation to be in.
I mean, it's also like a situation. Once again, I'm like kind of paraphrasing someone else's work here. Like Richard Lewis, I'd recommend looking up his Substack. He has an article that he released in January about internal messages that were leaked from Riot's Rainbow Rioters chat. So Riot has internal like Slack chats, and one of them is for LGBTQ people who work at Riot, right? And it was leaked screenshots, pretty well. Talking like people in that group talking about how this is actually a good thing because it will get like LGBT represented characters out there and like into the public, and it's like once again, like I don't like no one's like doxed in this or anything. I'd recommend going reading the entire article, but it is very sad that a lot of people find themselves in situations where your corporation or the thing that you do, where you work, what you're involved in, goes against your own morals. Yeah. And it feels like the only thing you can do is justify it and go with it, right? Because a lot of these posts are very, they're sad. Like, I don't think these people, if not presented with this situation, would be saying the things they say, right? And that's sad. I think that there is a cult-like thing that has happened, and it feels like you have to go this way or you're exiled from your work, from your friends, from all the people around you. And that is not a good place to be in.
Yeah, that's really tough.
I mean, just one thing that they talked about a couple times on like a couple different shows, just kind of like related to this like whole, like, I don't want to call it a cult. They called it a cult a lot. And when I say they, I mean like the, like Richard Lewis, Thorin, Monty type things of like the Riot cult. I do think there is cult-like things to it, but like, for example, this kind of relates to the whole, the environment that you're in, you kind of go with the flow just because even if it compromises your morals, you don't want your job, your friends, whatever, to be turned upside down. If you get fired from Riot, you're not allowed on the premise for 1 year, which they say for like the campus for like, cause they don't want like people coming back and like doing bad things. Right.
Okay.
That being said, guess what? They host tons of events on the campus. They host like game nights and stuff, right? And if your whole life is your job, right, you have friends who work at Riot, you every Thursday night you hang out and you play games on the Riot campus with your friends, and you go against the grain and you are let go of your job, not only do you lose your job, but you lose your friends, you lose your activities, it fucks your entire life. And that is a scary place to be in, and I think some of this Rainbow Rioters thing kind of relates to that, right? Like, you have a great group of people that you work with who are like-minded, and you're put in this position where it feels like you have to go with it or else the unknown is scary, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Once again, I don't think I am educated enough to speak on not only the Saudi involvement, or I'm also not part of the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. But I think it's not a good thing that we are seeing stuff like this normalized, like the Saudi sports washing of like esports. And I
think it's a very safe assumption. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway, sorry to bring down the show, but I think it's important.
Yeah, I think that was a good discussion to have. Awesome. Let's do roundtable, something a little more lighthearted.
Yeah, last week's question was, which champion do you think would work well as a jungler if Riot gave them some unexplainable jungle ratios? We got lots of good responses. I'm going to read my favorite, because I think it's actually the one that's been discussed forever. It's from Loki, and they said, it's Leona. It's the only thing she would need is to be able to proc her own passive to have it work. She's already one of the better roaming supports in the game. Having her get actual gold income from jungle camps would be delightful. The ganks would be absolutely stunning. The enemy team would be positively riveted to the floor.
It does seem like it would be a very good thing. I almost think that the fix would just be to make it so only her abilities proc her passive.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So that way you like you can't proc it on every single auto, but you can still proc it to a reduced extent.
The thing that you'll see common across all these answers, if you guys want to read one out each, is that turns out a lot of like tanky supports would be good junglers.
Yeah, a lot of low econ. Oh, yeah. The first one doesn't exist.
Oh, is that, just reload it. Sometimes it's weird.
Oh, just, okay.
And if yeah. not, then you don't need to pick one from there.
Okay. Zilean fits the asset to team, but liability in lane niche like Taric. He scales okay with gold, so he wouldn't be a degenerate ganker like most support junglers. Tahm Kench is good ganks in dueling, but poor AoE like Warwick. Cool. I don't know how to feel about those.
Tahm Kench would be so fun, dude. I miss like old Tahm Kench when you could eat things with your W.
Yeah, it did so much damage to jungle camps.
Like the best thing in the world was I'd lane top lane, kill my lane because the character is fucking broken top. It could just stat check everyone. And then you'd just walk down to their jungle camp, QW it, bring it across the world, and then kill it like off screen. Like, dude, it's just so unfun for junglers.
Yeah, it sucks.
We've got one from Rin who said if Bard could actually clear and still get his Chime XP, he'd be cracked in the jungle.
I've said that like I wish Bard were a jungler so much. I think it would be so fun. I think it would be really probably bad for the game because he's the most low econ slash build whatever good items there are champion in the game. But I think it would be a great fun.
Remember a couple weeks ago when I said that they should make it a 4v4 game and make all supports into different roles, dude? Mm-hmm, it'd be kind of fun, man. The more that I'm reading these answers, like,
alternatively, what if we just remove jungle and actually fix jungle, the game? Man. I'm just saying, I think they've got the wool pulled over all of your eyes. Let's not forget who the real villains are.
It's
who ganks your lane at level 2. It's not the support.
It is the support sometimes.
It's the jungler. Sometimes. Who's doing it every game, though?
The support.
It's the jungler.
Aiden cool. and I got ganked in our lane at level 1 by their Jhin and Sona, and we lost the lane hard.
Yeah.
Is it because you were playing bot lane?
Yeah. Because we leashed for our jungler.
Yeah.
So your jungler did that to you.
He did do it to us. This week's question is, Overwatch has special voice lines for April Fools when a character ults. What would your main say if League did that as well? Like a funny voice line. For like April Fools,
it's going to be hard to straddle the line between funny and cringe.
Well, so I had one that I was going to say, but I'm not going to say it because we do a voice podcast that can be recorded. But it was along the lines of what if Tahm Kench just said T my H.
Okay.
Yeah, but I just don't want to say that.
you could say that though. It's not very offensive.
No, I just don't want a voice clip of me saying.
No, I think it would be good.
Yeah, you can tell us after the show, and we definitely won't record it for a soundboard. Yeah. I'll go with Zillion, and anytime a character dies near him and his ult was up, he just goes like, "Yee." we're just like yikes.
I like the. It's like the.
I would.
Sorry.
Yeah, the fucking dinosaur.
Yeah, the dinosaur.
I would like Ari to say charmed, I'm sure, on every ability.
Oh, every ability other than her charm.
Yeah, other than her charm and like including misses.
And she's April Fool's after every single time.
Yeah. I like that.
Cool. If you want to tell us what voice line you'd want your character to say on April Fool's, hit us up on our Discord. It's discord.gg/leadcast in our roundtable section. Yeah, or send us an email, mail@leadcastpodcast.com.
We have one email, and it's from Sigurd, who's going to help us figure out why we did OPGG roasts. Yeah. You asked to roast OPGG because I flamed Aiden for not knowing the Overwatch meta. I think he just got angry and wanted to lash out, and Nick suggested roasting OPGGs could be fun.
I think it's really fun how all of us lash out still. We are still cave creatures at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's great.
Especially when someone tells me my opinion is bad, but I know it's correct. By the way, there's an interaction in the game where if you buy Black Heat Cleaver plus Eclipse on Senna, you proc Eclipse in one auto. If you go the item Haste Rune, it seems pretty good. I also play Celerity plus Move Speed 2% Rune on Brand every game to run fast. It's super safe. And with Rylaze, you still have Slow and Kite for days. I promise you it's broken. Though it does seem does a lot less damage if you still do the most damage in the game. Oh, but you still do the most damage in the game most times because you don't die at the start of every fight. Move speed items are so easy to get to at the moment. So you run circles around people and soft engage whenever you want to. I buy the move speed components for Deadman's and Shirelia's and finish them later after Rylaze. And that build is pretty much full build. Don't knock it until you try it, Sigurd.
I actually think the Senna Eclipse thing sounds like pretty good, to be honest. Like, as much as we're a Senna Eclipse haters, dude, being able to insta-proc it with one auto because you have Black Labor is crazy, actually.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not that much of a Eclipse hater on Senna.
Nick hates it more than both of us combined.
Yeah, well, I think it's
okay, so it's just because she has unbelievably good other items. And this is like before the recent change when this was like the only lethality item she would buy, right?
Yeah.
Like, just build Blade of the Rune King. Like, just build Kraken. There were so many other better options, and you wasted it for 3% max HP damage and a 50 HP shield that you could proc every, I don't know, 14 seconds.
My issue is that, like, you never really use the shield. Like, if you ever look at, like, the stats before they got removed, now you can't, so now you don't know it's bad. You'd really never proc the shield, because you're procing a shield from, like, 700 range away from someone.
So that,
like,
then expires before anyone hits you?
That being said, I do think, like, I am the fucking item econ guy. I do think lethality items just being cheaper, like, typically. This was last season as well. Like, made lethality a juicy looking choice, right? Because it's so much less gold for a full lethality build than like a crit build or even an on hit build.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's more normalized this season now, overall though.
Yeah, now that it's not the only lethality item she's building.
Yeah, and it's more expensive. Eclipses now, right? It's like 3,000 something.
3,200, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive, but
yeah.
I do to his point. I do think that move speed is really valuable, especially like on, I think support characters use it really well, because like so much of their ability to interact with the game is just like being where they need to be and actually like getting their abilities off. So like having enough movement speed to cast your abilities and then run away is huge. And I think, you know, there's like the age old example of, sure, I do more damage with like, let's say, a death cap, but I get a second rotation if I go a defensive item. And that does way more damage than like the plus 30% boost from a damage item.
Have you considered that building items like that and not just pure damage is cringe?
True. Might be called lame and shunned at a party. One thing I wanted to like shoehorn in here, because it's semi-related, is, so I've been complaining a lot. I am self-admittedly a tank player, and I will self-admit that tank items are fucking gross in OPE right now. That being said, my least favorite thing in all of League is that I'm a simple tank player. I fucking just go top lane, I play my own game, and then other roles take my shit and fucking get them nerfed, right? So, like, we saw Ghost nerfed a couple months ago when, like, it did the reset thing because like 80 carries and shit ran it, and then they have Ghost for fucking 45 seconds. And I don't think Ghost needed a nerf for fucking good old tank players like me. And now like we're getting into the discussion of Ghost will probably end up copping some nerfs in a couple weeks because it's being run as Ghost Flash on every single fucking 80 carry in the game and some mages. And I don't think it's actually an issue by itself, especially not for little tank players like myself. And then the new thing, and this is less of an 80 carry thing, but more of like fuck other rules, is they're going to get my fucking grasp nerfed too.
Yeah, facts.
Fucking every single mage in the game is fucking running
every
grasp.
Ranged character.
Like,
yeah.
Dude, I hate when like something gets nerfed not by the main people who build it. Like, that's so frustrating. And I know
but
happen,
I think that
man.
That's like the story of League of Legends though, right?
It is. 80 carries use items.
80 carries really items well. Use like yeah, like melee assassins use the 80 carry item too well. The 80 carry uses the assassin item too well. The tank uses the mage item too well. The mage uses the tank item too well. The support uses the jungle item too. Like, it's just like constantly a balance of them trying to make items good for the role they're intended and not too good by for some like fringe user. And it's tough. I think, you know, a Riot Games level solution could just be like hard define roles and only let certain roles buy items, right? Like Warmogs is only purchasable by top laners. Too bad. Deal with
how
it.
Fucking dare you nerf Bard like that?
Yeah,
actually true.
That's unbelievable.
It's just I always like fear stuff like that because like I think the change for Ghost, for example, should just be that you can only run one movement summoner, like Ghost or
Agreed.
Flash. That's probably how it should be. I don't know if they'll go with that because that is pretty nuclear compared to just nerfing Ghost. And it's
wild
because
Ghost is better than Flash anyway already.
Mm-hmm. I do think
that's how you dodge Malphite ult.
I think Ghost is actually really fucking good, by the way. I do think we like we live in this world though that like Flash is just okay with being the best summoner spell in the game by like a lot, and that's an okay thing. And it upsets me when other summoner spells get nerfed, because those fucking degen fuck 80 carries who are running Ghost Flash, dude. When Ghost gets nerfed, they just go back to running Flash, and the characters who actually run Ghost as their primary just get fisted, dude. They're just stuff's, I don't want to say the word, stuff's just seeping out of them, dude. It's gross. They've been fucked. And then same thing for Grasp. Like, I think they'll probably just nerf it in general, but like it probably just needs like a range nerf penalty. But like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you should just make it what 2/7 instead of 4/7. Like, why are range characters getting 4 HP every time they proc it?
Yeah, they could also have it like scale off of your health, or they could have it like scale off your level, or they could have it scale off like armor and magic resist if they want to like push it so that Grasp is better on tanks than it is on like Viktor and Zilean. But I mean, it would be another thing that we would have to then like complain about, where it's like this weird one-off fix to this problem because of something else.
Yeah, but it's okay because it benefits Aiden.
True.
In his character.
I just want my character to be OP.
Yeah.
Dude, I fucking as much as like people like to jawn about their characters being bad, characters being OP is fun, man. When you play a character and it's fucking just like bonkers. Like, I've been playing a shitload of Zac. I want him to be OP forever, as long as I'm the only one playing.
True.
I do think Zac is one of the more like elo inflating champions of all time.
Did you see the Sanchovies clip from his YouTube last month or no?
Yes. Oh my god.
Dude, he kills
like 1v3s.
He plays like a shit, kills someone, and then he's like the tower's at like 300 HP. He has no minions. He just walks up. He's getting hit while like hitting this 300 HP tower. He hits it like 12 times in a row. Kills it. Is alive with 100 HP, and then 2v1s people, dies, revives, kills them both. Oh my god.
Zac, it's actually crazy
right now. Yeah,
I think I'll say it. I think he's been fucked for a very long time.
True. Yeah, I think he probably has been for like 3 years at this point.
You guys are haters, man.
Facts.
If Zac wasn't a tank, you guys wouldn't be caring right now.
True. If he were an 80 carry, we'd all love him.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, it's okay because he doesn't come online until his third item.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Or he'd be the 80 carry that does come online. Anyway, If you want to send us an email to roast us and tell us why you play Move Speed Brand instead of a real build, you can send it to mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLardout, Blue Basket, and LeagueCastFrost. You can visit our website, leaguecastpodcast.com, and you can join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeagueCast. Finally, please support us on Patreon if you like us, patreon.com/LeagueCast. We're going to read out the name of the people who do support us now, and you can hear your name here.
True. Thank you to all of our wonderful patrons, including Aaron, Actual Yordle, Adrian, Aiden, Alex, Elise, Angel Holic, Armis, Austin, Blabby Jags, Blackwax, Blooper, Breedable Soraka, Brian, Brosif, Camuril, Chandler, Chaz, Cheese for Real, Chuzix, Coastal Toast, Colton, Cryo Phoenix, CTURL, Dabular, Danman, Dekar, Decopaw, Diana, Dicarus, Don't Be Creative, Dr. Coconuts, Dr. Herferferfer, Dragoon, Drew, Dylan, Feast Forever, Finner, Foxloaf, Frozen Ninja, Gabriel, Gunner, H Fire, I Cosplay Gragas, Jake, Jotty, Jay, Jeff, Jesse, Jigmink, Joby, John, Josh, Josh Plank, Joshua, Calzifar, Katie, Chaos Reaper, Kevin, Kieran, Clonamy, Koi the Monkey Boy, Conrad, Crambone, Landon, Leafide, League Saint, Lacona, Lisp Sync, Little PP, Lucas, Madeline, Man Mennington, Marshall, Mary Makes No Sense, Matt, Max and Mox, Michael, Mika, Milkman, Mr. Ginger, Muse Guy, My Ball's Your Gin, Mystic Rune, Nathan, Nikoj, NYC Poem, Oklahoman, Oscar, Panda Bear 9, Pards Bay, Pocky, Raphael, Rattlesnake Jake, Reckless Viper, Rugby Ninja, RJ, Ryan, Seth, Shark is Suffering, Skydrill, SMS, Stu, Stuart, Sunny, Suda, T Hubs, Tanky Crobat, Thane, The Last Samurai, Thomas, Titties and Bitties, Trevor, T Scotland, Ty, Wallace, Womper, Wolf, Wolfie, Wyatt, X Strong, Yumi with a Gun, Joman, and Zill.
Thank you once again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.